You are listening to Rouge, White, and Blue, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
Blue CFL Podcast. My name's Oz Davis. I'll be your co-host, and I've already begun drinking. Because today on the RWB CFL Podcast, I'm sure we'll have to talk about last week's Argos-Alouettes game and next week's Argos-Alouettes game. Here to talk about those and other things is my co-host, Joe Pritchard. Joe, how's it going for you?
Well, I could be watching the Brewers in the World Series right now if things had gone a different way on Saturday night, but I'm not. So I am here and gracing you with my presence.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you. I was going to say, you know, in a parallel universe, that Joe is off watching the World Series right now as the Brewers are facing, what, the Yankees maybe? In any case, joining us also as co-host and who loves Rouges in all universes, parallel or otherwise, is Dr. Rouge. Doctor, how are you this evening?
You were talking about the Argos and the Alouettes. Who won and which team didn't have a quarterback leave the field early?
Listen to me on this one. You are basically, Dr. Rouge, the CFL equivalent of the faithless elector. Okay? You announced proudly. You didn't even want to discuss this game last week. You were so convinced the Argos were going to lose. I don't know which universe you were channeling last week, but jeez, come on, man. I can't believe you're going to.
My team won.
I know.
My team doesn't have a losing streak. Yours, on the other hand.
My team doesn't have a losing streak. Yes, there you go. That's the epithet for the 2018 Toronto Argonauts.
Oh, yes, but Montreal season may be getting worse.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe it's not over yet. In any case, you know, is it June yet? I think I'm going to be the first person on the planet to break that one out this year. Is it June yet? Because, man, I can't wait for this season to be over already. But let's talk about some more positive things that happened last week and that may happen this week and that will happen within the next 2 weeks as we're this close to the playoffs. I can't believe it. First off, we all wanted to say, because here at the Rouge, White, and Blue, we love our kickers, we love our punters, and we love those Rouges, right, Dr. Rouge? But the Rougeless wonder, Lewis Ward, is now up to, well, he is, isn't he? He's never produced a Rouge, at least not on a field goal. He is now up to 45 consecutive field goals, which, interestingly enough, of course, is now the CFL record, but interestingly enough, beats the professional football record set by Adam Vinatieri. You may have heard of him. Probably the greatest place kicker ever. I mean, here's a guy who had basically two careers. So this is a heck of a start to Mr. Ward's career. Now, I wanted to ask you guys, because there's usually two kind of mindsets about this, is that one is that, well, this guy is destined for a great career now, or two, well, beginning next year, he's never going to match this again. Joe, where are you on Lewis Ward?
I'm much more to the latter because kickers can have erratic careers. The ones that have the 20-plus year careers like Vinatieri and others of that ilk are few and far between. I could just think of a guy that had both CFL and NFL experience that went from the top of the mountain to pretty much out of the league in an eye blink, and that's Mike Vanderjagt.
Oh, yes.
Setting records with the Colts, and then all of a sudden – after he became an idiot kicker, ended up becoming not a kicker pretty quickly after that.
Yeah, and pretty quickly after that, the Colts went with Vinatieri. Dr. Rouge, you've got to admit, despite the Rougelessness, you've got to love Mr. Ward.
A fantastic season. The problem is he can never be close to this good, this consistent again. And, you know, when this streak ends, whether it's this season or whether it's next season, you know, everyone's going to talk about it. It's going to be wonderful and all those sorts of things. The worst possible scenario for him is to miss a field goal in the playoffs this year that cost his team a win, because then all of that good news will be forgotten and everyone will be talking about, yeah, but that one kick you missed. So let's hope whenever the next miss is, that it has no impact on a game.
Well, yeah, better not be the playoffs, huh?
I don't know what you're talking about, says 1998 Gary Anderson.
There you go. There you go.
1998. Did something happen in 1998?
Well, I don't know. In another universe, like, that's called the NFL, Dr. Roosh.
I guess that's pre-Winnipeg.
Right. Let's talk some of last week's games. Joe, but before we get started, I want to do this thing. Joe, can you do me a favor and call up, because I figure you're probably sitting at your computer and you probably have it within a couple of clicks. Can you call up the Rod Black drinking game for me, please?
Oh, okay. Well, let's take a look here. And while I am doing that, let me tell you, it is fun to explain the CFL playoff setup to a very, very casual American fan that sits across from me, and try to explain all the what's, whys, and what the hecks, because he's looking at it and going, why is Hamilton in the playoffs and BC in the playoffs, but Winnipeg isn't?
The CFL playoffs are awesome. We should do that. We should let's talk before we get started on last week's games. Let's talk CFL playoff scenarios. Okay. Because we always do this on the Rouge, White, and Blue at this time of year, because I can never get this stuff straight, and Joe is the untangler of bracket spaghetti or something like that. Let's call this. Okay. So at the top of the West, we have Calgary at, let's see, we have Calgary at 12-4. We have Saskatchewan at 11-6. Now, the inability for Calgary to win ball games lately has put them into a position where they could actually finish second, but they can finish no worse than second, right, Joe?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Right. Okay. All right. Now, the only way, I mean, still one, their magic number is still one, right? They only need to win one game, right? That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And okay.
Or tie.
Ooh, all right. I like that. Now, wait a second. If they tied, is that enough? 12? Yes. Because then the worst they would be is 12-5-1. Right. Oh, very good. Okay, who could they tie? Who are they playing in these last two games? They got Winnipeg, and then in the last week they have who?
BC.
Okay. So what are those two? Wow, that would mess with things at the bottom of the table, which is the tricky bit. Now, as far as I understand it, BC is in, right? They've clinched a spot.
Yes.
Despite the fact that mathematically they're in fourth place right now at 9-7. Seemingly tied with Winnipeg at 9-7. Okay.
Uh-huh. Right.
Edmonton's fate is out of their hands, correct?
Uh-huh. For this week.
For this week. Okay. Well, yeah, of course. Right? Of course, because they're on the bye, right? So they can't do anything. Now, can they be eliminated this week?
Yes.
They can be.
If Winnipeg wins?
Winnipeg win or a Winnipeg tie.
Okay. All right. Great. Got it. Okay. So now, so is there a scenario when Edmonton can finish third? Because I see that BC has clinched the playoffs again, but they're still sitting in fourth. So can Edmonton leapfrog into third? They can't, can they? They're at 8-9 right now.
Cannot.
Okay, because BC wins the tiebreaker with Edmonton.
Uh-huh.
Okay, right. So if both of those teams goes 9-9, because Edmonton only has one more game, BC wins, BC gets third, Edmonton gets four, Winnipeg, sorry, Joe, is out. But That's just one of many possible universes, Joe. So don't panic. We'll talk about your panic level later as a Bombers fan. Right. Okay. So what about in the East? Ottawa's at 9-7. Hamilton's at 8-8. This game this week solves a tiebreaker if Hamilton wins, right? Well, either way it does.
No.
Either way it does, right?
Ottawa has the tiebreaker because it's already beaten Hamilton twice.
Oh, wow. Okay, so Hamilton wins out their 10-8. Ottawa splits, which is likely because they get one of the bottom feeders in week 21. Who do they get in week 21? Do they get your bottom feeder or mine, Doctor?
They get my bottom
feeder. Okay, right. So they would – but even in that case, even if they split, they win.
They win.
Okay, so Ottawa has two must wins, basically, and their fate is still out of their hand. Okay, right. Got it. Okay.
You mean
Hamilton.
Hamilton has two must wins and has to hope Ottawa loses twice.
Right. Wow.
Right. So basically that means win this week, win next week, and hope Ottawa falls to Toronto. That's the only scenario that Hamilton wins the division.
Okay. But it's okay because Hamilton gets a home game anyway.
Yep, exactly. And they could potentially have that home game at 8-10 where and Winnipeg could be out of the playoffs at 9-9. I know our buddy over at Blue Bomber Talk, John Hodge, is hot and heavy about the one division scenario as it is. Can you imagine the fire he'd breathe if that happened?
Well, I mean, again, I think on one hand, it's one game. It's one game. And there were games that y'all could have won. And you didn't. And also, I think you're right on this. You know, you're right on this. You gotta unbalance the schedule. You're right on this, Joe. I mean, you gotta make more. The West has got to play the West more. The East has got to play the East more. That's the only way this division thing makes sense, anyways. And so that way, those records disappear. Of course, you're gonna get.
Yep, but you better believe that there will be action on the league side if that scenario comes to pass. Because Randy Ambrosi likes to fix things that appear to be broken. And when you have something like that show up, that makes things look like they're broken. Whether or not they truly are, or if it's just a weird coincidence, well, that's for others to decide. I would imagine that there's some sort of action if that comes to pass.
But isn't the action obvious, Dr. Rouge?
See, I don't think at this point you have a scenario that works perfectly unless you go with everybody playing everybody twice, in which case the league matchups or the single division makes somewhat sense. I think you probably add a third game against a geographic rival or something like that, you know, to get yourself to 18 games. Once you get the Atlantic Schooners, I'm presuming that's going to be the name. Then you got two choices. You either go unbalanced, with the East playing the East more often, the West playing the West more often, or you just say, the heck with it, it's going to be a round robin, everybody plays home against everybody, everybody plays road, everybody, you go one division. The problem is with nine teams, you're never going to satisfy enough of a balanced schedule to make it work. I tend to side with you, Oz, saying that, you know what, if Winnipeg goes 9-9 and is out and Hamilton goes 8-10 and is in, you know what, hey, look, we're in a stretch where the West is better than the East. 4, 5, 6 years from now, that could be flipped around and the East could be significantly better than the West. You know, you're not going to have a perfect scenario when you have this kind of great matchup, meaning two divisions, but not only nine total teams.
Mm-hmm. I think the solution is obvious. I mean, look, just add Halifax. That's the solution. Look, you have one more year before Halifax gets in. You know, sorry, but looks like you're going to have to rush this a little bit. You know, it's got to be 2 years from now. It's got to be 2020. You have 1 year of single division. That's it. Because there is a lot of parity right now. And I don't really see Montreal improving in 2019. I mean, they've screwed themselves out of most of their draft picks. So But also, the thing about adding Halifax is that you add a Halifax to the East, it doesn't matter what you do with the schedule, there's no way you're going to have three teams with four wins in that division. I think, you know, Toronto will probably have turned their situation around by then. I mean, you know, turned it around. They're 1 year removed from being the Grey Cup champs. I mean, they can't produce a 500 team if there's an expansion team in the league.
Well, but look, the question I think ultimately becomes, do you want to do like most professional sports leagues do, meaning especially the NBA and the NHL, where every team visits every city, especially in a 10-team league? There's a lot of appeal to that, I think. But if you do that, do you do a true round robin home and home schedule? There's no need to have two divisions.
Right.
You have one division. Top six teams make it, and you know what? If it turns out that five of them are out west and one of them is in the east,
yep.
Fine.
Yep.
We'll be done with it.
Yep.
On the other hand, when the tenth team comes in, the question becomes: is geography more important than, for lack of a better phrase, equality? Meaning everybody plays everybody else the same amount of times. And boy, I'll tell you, that BC and Halifax game, boy, you better, wherever it's being played, the team who's on the road has to have the next week off. I mean, that flight's
going to be 16 days. You make that the Labor Day back-to-back.
Right, exactly. That's got to be the Labor Day back-to-back. That would be freaking awesome. That would be incredible. You have it as the first game and the last game. It's the first game and the last game.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
That would make sense. I'd go along with that.
That would be awesome.
And then probably give both teams the next week off just because of the distance that's going to be involved. Because, again, that's the other concern with the team in Halifax is the amount of distance it's going to take to get to that city. I know, modern airplanes, whatever.
Well, biology hasn't evolved that much since the airplane.
Biology hadn't evolved that much. I mean, could you imagine? You talk about those late games in BC, the Halifax team would be kicking off at what, 11 p.m.? Isn't it 4 hours difference from Halifax to Vancouver?
Right.
Dear Lord.
Yes.
And the way you fix that is to have it be one of the maybe even a Saturday game that weekend. Because there's usually a Friday game.
Yes.
There's usually not a Saturday game because then there's a Sunday and then the two Mondays. Mm-hmm. You make that a Saturday game. You make that at noon local time for BC or maybe even 3 o'clock local time for BC. Mm-hmm. An afternoon game. And then Halifax fans can watch it and develop that long distance rivalry. Because then if you go back to Halifax the next weekend, either this crazy Saturday double, triple, quadruple header, whatever you want to do, you start that late enough over there, 7 o'clock start, where it's 3 o'clock in BC, that probably works the best for everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You bookend it. You bookend the entire, that two weekend stretch with these games. It'll be awesome. Yep. You could work it out for the biological clock. I mean, yeah, there's going to be advantages and disadvantages, but you take them in the NBA for a Lakers-Celtics final. I mean, you take that coast-to-coast stuff. You love it. Basically, this becomes the CFL equivalent of those London NFL games.
Mm-hmm.
You just give them the bye week. You make the extra time for the travel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In any case, I think that's the solution. Yeah, I believe it. I'd like to see odds on whether the CFL is single division next year as a stopgap solution for one season.
No.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think they do anything stopgap. I think they make something permanent.
Well, then they're waiting for Halifax. They're not going to change anything.
Right.
They're not going to change anything until then.
I guess if you wanted to make a bridge, if you wanted to build a bridge, if you look at this whole thing and go, okay, this is broken. But what do we do about it? Because we don't have Halifax in hand yet, but we're planning on it. And then we have our ideas for 2020, 2021, 2022, whatever. But then you can stop. But then you can put a stopgap into it where you would require a fifth place team out west. And in this case, even if Winnipeg wins this week, Edmonton could still finish 9-9 beating them the next week, and Hamilton could do this. So I'm not just making this argument on the for Winnipeg's benefit, but maybe if you know you're going to make a change in a couple of years, you make that fifth place spot a crossover only if they are better than the second place team in the East. Then God help you as to what you do. Maybe you make 3 and 4 crossover and 2 and 5 stay in the West or something. But
well, you could just
then at least you have the teams
You leave it as is until the 10th team comes in, and then you decide geography matters or equality matters. If it's geography, it's 2 divisions. If it's equality, it's 1, and be done with it. Change it once.
Well, it's going to be 2 divisions. I don't think there's any question about that.
And we can go over this all day and all night. We're going to have people arguing for our positions and people telling us our positions are stupid no matter what we do. So I think we could probably put a bow on this one because I think we've been over it a couple times.
I think there's one thing to be sure of, though. Johnny Manziel is not going to be the quarterback in Montreal when Halifax comes in.
Oh, by that time, no.
Ain't happening.
He'll be OOF at that point, I think.
Will he be the quarterback when Montreal goes to Hamilton in week 21?
Yeah. He will.
This year? No.
This year. Yes.
Oh yeah, no. Absolutely. Yeah, he will.
No.
I think he's gonna win next week. Argos fan. Right. Okay. So.
When did you win the Grey Cup last?
13 man, right?
That's not an argument that I like to hear ever from anybody.
Yeah, history is history.
Speaking of that, when did your team – no.
History is history, and our quarterback –
1995, thank you very much.
History is history, and our quarterback for that game is now on the sidelines for the Argonauts, okay? So we don't need to be talking about that. Right, in any case, let's get to the games last week. Now – Joe, among other people, remember a column that I used to write for various websites, actually, kind of bounced around a little bit, called View from the South about the CFL. And one of the sections of it was called Rod Black's Crimes Against the English Language because, man, this boy is wanted by the English Language Police, and he has been for probably his whole career on TSN. There's a great clip of him on YouTube mashing Toronto Raptors pregame playoff game. It's amazing. Oh my God, he's just killing it. But he was up to his best this week. We actually got to him twice this week, but particularly in the first game, the Ottawa Redblacks 35, Hamilton Tiger Cats 31 game. He had 2 beauties, and I wanted Joe to consult the drinking game chart, the Rod Black drinking game chart, as conceived by, refresh my memory on the Twitter handle, Joe?
I believe it's our buddy Jacques Cartier.
Yeah, Jacques Cartier. I believe that's what it is on the Twitter. I think that's his Twitter handle, which he has lots of great stuff. He's one of the best CFL Twitterers out there. In any case, so Rod had a couple of beauties, and the first one was this. This is not the worst. This is the runner-up. He actually had a good one in the Montreal game that I'll talk about later too. This is the runner-up for the Rod Black crime of English language against the English language for the week. Quote, and you may remember this one. It was in the second quarter. Dominique Davis stuffed at the goal line, but he scores the touchdown. I love that one. It's like Rod forgot what the word stuffed meant for a second there. It's like,
or did he?
Exactly. And I believe that's on the drinking game. Rod Black miscalls a play.
I'm going to put that under the category of he won't be caught, or will he? And that's a chug.
Oh my God! See, got to have a hearty liver to play this game. Okay, so but the one that killed me was this, and that's not on there. But this is the one that destroys me about Rod Black. And people think I don't have a sense of humor about this, and I really don't. Okay, because here's his line. At one point, he was describing the must have been the Red Blacks. He said, This team came in here with a lot of mojo. Okay, now, a mojo rod is a totem. It's a lucky totem. It can be abstract. Okay, it can be like a habit that brings you luck, like a sort of Zen thing. Okay, but it is an actual like lucky charm. That's what it means. It descends from three different African or Polynesian languages, okay, in its usage, and became known as a mojo through Creole languages in the United States. Okay, it does not mean momentum. Okay, Rod does this all the time, where he takes a word that kind of sounds like another word and assume it means the same thing. It doesn't. And it just pisses me off. I'm glad that nobody takes Rod seriously, because then you'd have a whole generation of people in Canada misusing the word, for example, mojo. But he does this all the time. It just drives me up the wall. Now, I believe, Joe, that's my rant. I believe, Joe.
Now, wait, I got a quick question.
Oh, go for it. Or did he?
I got a quick question.
Or did he? Is that your question?
No. This is a legitimate question. Joe, you were home last year and didn't travel to the Grey Cup, so watch the game on television, as I will do this year because I am not going up to Edmonton. Which was the broadcast? Now, this is a legitimate question. Which was the broadcast crew for the game last year? Was it Cuthbert and Suter, or was it our friend Rod and Dwayne Ford?
I'm pretty sure it was Cuthbert and Suter. I think they get the Grey Cup.
Yeah.
No. That means this year it'll be they'll alternate. It'll be Rod Black and Dwayne Ford, won't it?
Really? Do you really think
that's it? I don't know if they alternate.
No, I don't think so either. No.
Oh, I hope they don't.
No. I think they're giving it
okay.
to the
Okay. Well, I do have a potential ruling on what he said, using a wrong word. They do have in the rules calls a player by the wrong name. It's a stretch, but it'd be one drink.
Right.
Or he butchers CFL history, which is two drinks. You are mentioning that this is history, so you might be able to squeeze that one under that.
Well, see, I'm thinking that, with all due respect to Jacques Cartier, because I love Jacques, I think that there needs to be a bit of tweaking, because he has developed some more annoying habits lately. Oh, my God. I mean, just him calling Suter Suits, I mean, just drives me up the wall at this point. Everything the man says. It's I still watch it. I still listen to it because, I don't know, it hurts so good. I don't know. I guess I'm a masochist. But, oh, my God. This. Just sportscasters have this reputation for destroying the English language, and he is just the poster boy. And no offense to the folks in Canada, but man, he's the worst. He is really the worst. I used to hate Troy Aikman, but man, this guy. In any case, let's talk some football. My rant is over. I just had to get that out. This has been Rod Black's Crimes Against the English Language for week 19. Right, first game was Ottawa Redblacks 35, Edmonton Tiger Cats 31. Since we killed a lot of time talking about playoff scenarios and how to solve them, I'll just try and summate this one really quickly. I've got a couple of rants about this one, but I'll try not to do it. Really quick, hey, here's a quick picture of this game. Redblacks were down 22-6. They were down 25-14 at half, and they won the second half 21-6. Trevor Harris did Trevor Harris things. Stat line of 24 for 32, 75%. Okay. 341 yards, one touchdown versus zero interceptions. I would also point out that prospective MOP, Mr. Masoli, after his first completion in the second half, that long 40-yarder to Brandon Banks, who sadly will miss the rest of the season, he managed just 81 yards passing, and the team managed just 18 yards rushing in the entire second half. So, the somewhat incendiary question for you, Dr. Rouge, is, do you call this a Red Blacks win or a Tiger Cats loss?
A Red Blacks win, and I, that game to me encompassed one half why people say Ottawa will do nothing in the playoffs and Hamilton will be great. And the second half was, see, Ottawa can be a really dangerous team, and Hamilton is nothing more than a paper tiger. I think this game validates that it's quite possible one of the two will make it to the Grey Cup. It also validates that against a potentially stronger team, they could take a couple of punches to the mouth and not necessarily respond positively at all. But just in the interest of time, I say this game or the game the past week was much more a reflection on Ottawa coming back rather than Hamilton blowing it.
And probably iced them that East Division. Okay, Joe, the Hamilton Paper Tiger Cats. Are you buying it?
Yep, because they do this every year.
Hmm.
They just simply it took them a little bit longer back in 2014 to do it, but at the end, they find a way to break their fans' hearts. And that's just who they are. There was a time in there between their last Grey Cup win and now where they were just awful. But now they found a way to be just good enough to get their fans' hopes up from most of the time, but just not good enough to not be able to follow through.
Well, it's just the way they have been. Mine is Jalen Saunders and mine is Brandon Banks. Reality is Hamilton's chances have probably taken a gigantic step backwards. You know, with both those guys, an amazingly talented offense. Minus those two guys, again, let's look at what happened in Calgary. You know, Calgary survived for a couple of weeks with all those injuries to wide receivers, and then all of a sudden now they can't get out of their way.
Well, okay, but I would counter that by saying, first of all, it doesn't excuse this game necessarily. I mean, Banks was in there until the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Banks was in there until the fourth quarter, and they still have a mighty dangerous weapon there in Luke Tasker. Now, you can say, okay, but they're not stretching the field like they did with Banks anymore. But again, mm-hmm. they could have won this game. I mean, this is supposed to be the team with the all-star defense, which we haven't seen much of all this year, by the way. But I wanted to ask you guys about this. I won't do the rant, but I wanted to ask you guys what you made of this. Take a look sometime, and maybe the listeners can follow along. Take a look at the box score for this game sometime, and look at the quarterback stats. I found this fascinating. Mm-hmm. Mazzoli, 23 of 34. Harris, 24 of 32. Mazzoli, 342 yards. Trevor Harris, 341 yards. Okay? The difference, I suppose, is Mazzoli, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. Harris, 1 touchdown, 0 interceptions. What do you guys make of that?
Happy accident.
Hmm.
And Dominique Davis can get stuffed but still get in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
3 times, apparently.
3 times.
Yep. Okay. All right. If that's enough. You know, I know all season I've been beating the dead horse. I've been the Mazzoli truther. But, again, it just tells you that sometimes statistics lie a little bit. You know, they certainly don't tell the whole truth because those stats look equal. But in the end, one of them did not play in the second half. Right. Let's see. Now I've lost my notebook. Okay. So game two, we have, wow, this was a heck of a game. BC Lions 42, Edmonton Eskimos 31. Travis Lule, here are my notes for this one. Travis Lule thought it was 2011 again. Devere Posey, 3 touchdowns. BC Lions looking more and more like a team that's going to go deep into the playoffs. What did you take away from this game, Joe?
Well, BC is getting hot at the right time. But we're going to ask the question, especially since I don't believe they are very unlikely to finish second. Are they going to be able to win 2 in a row on the road, and then a 3rd in a neutral site? I'm going to say no. But would you have put them here at the beginning of the season?
Mm-hmm.
I believe we all put them in 5th place.
Mm-hmm. I actually put them in 3rd at 9-9.
Did you? Okay.
But that's because I was being far too pessimistic about the Riders and the Bombers.
Wow, you might hit that. You might hit that.
I might hit that one. Yeah. I might hit that one. But the rest of them, I shouldn't have even brought my predictions because the rest of them are absolute trash.
All right. Dr. Rouge, what did you take away from this one?
That just imagine if BC is indeed now legit, if they get Solomon Aluminium back in the next week or so, in other words, get him tuned up in time for the playoffs, and if by chance they can get Manny Arsenault back, which I think is a far greater stretch.
Yeah.
Holy cow. You know, now you're really talking about a team that could be dangerous. Do I think they can win two road games back to back, especially if they have to go east and stay east for, you know, 12, 14 days, whatever? I'm a little suspicious of that. I would be much more convinced that whoever comes out of the West is going to win the Grey Cup if, you know, you're looking at BC having to win twice, with again, consecutive and long road trips, involved. But right now you could make a case BC is the second best team in the Western Division right now.
And thus
may not mean much.
Thus the second best team in the CFL.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, right now, I think, you know, if you threw the records out and said, who do you think's the best team in the league right now?
Yeah.
I think you probably put Saskatchewan first because they've beaten Winnipeg 2 out of 3? Yeah. But I think you can make a case that Winnipeg right now is the most dangerous team in the league. And if that's the case, then maybe BC is the second most dangerous team in the league.
Interesting. Interesting. And then 3 and 4 are Calgary and Saskatchewan. In either order.
Either or. Yeah.
I'm not buying.
Which means, I mean,
so much.
Would it be completely out of the realm of possibility to say that the two third place teams, obviously in this case, the crossover team, presuming they're Winnipeg and BC, which is not a stretch, you could have two third place teams make the Grey Cup this year.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. That'd be great. That'd be interesting. That'd be a fun game.
I think it's happened before.
Yeah, it seems.
But I think only once.
Yeah, it seems to me that it has in one of your long columns that you used to do. I'm sure that was brought up.
Yes, when I had time on my hands.
Yeah, how about it? Welcome
to
fatherhood.
Instead of a baby in your hands, right?
Welcome to fatherhood.
Exactly, but I wouldn't give it back.
Of course not.
Precisely.
Of course not. All right, let's go on. Third game. All right, Dr. Rouge, let me hear it. Toronto Argonauts 26, Montreal Alouettes 22.
We won. You didn't. Well, look, I mean, all kidding or all seriousness or whatever, big deal. You know, Toronto won a game, Montreal lost a game. This week it'll probably flip and Montreal will win and Toronto will lose. And they'll both be, you know, what, 4-13 or whatever it is heading into the final game of the season. So what? Toronto won a game. Who cares? Montreal lost another game. Who cares? Let's move on.
No optimism for the future or anything? No.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just Montreal, I suppose. But all right, okay, Joe, I'll let you do it. I mean, any one of us could do it. But thoughts on that Alouettes quarterback? I was just thinking today.
What language is that?
That was illogical, Captain. I was just thinking today. Joe, maybe you can refresh my memory. When was the last, like, really bona fide NFL comeback through the CFL? I mean,
are you talking about quarterbacks or
an impact player, an impact player of any sort? Lineman, even? That rarely happens with linemen.
And you're talking about somebody that
NFL?
Started in the NFL?
Well, yeah, or maybe was an American who had an outstanding college career, but, you know, kind of panned out and then was successful in the CFL and then went into the NFL. I mean, not like Warren Moon, because that was a long time ago. But, I mean, what was
besides the odd Ricky Williams situation, I would probably have to say Flutie off the top of my head.
Wow.
As the last one to
fail. Jeff Garcia, right?
Come up north. Well, he never really got a shot down south, though.
And the same thing for Warren Moon the first time through. He really didn't get much of a shot when he came out of the University of Washington.
Because there's not many that go wash out of the NFL, go up to the CFL, and then go back down to the NFL and become better than they were before.
Do something.
So
it's just like, so the entire Alouettes season, I mean, look, maybe it's Le Process, right? Maybe they're rebuilding and all this. Okay. But why, like, it's like they've, you know, ransomed this entire season for this futile endeavor of this completely unlikable dude. I mean, and not a professional quarterback. I mean, you know, I feel bad saying this because, you know, I never played the game. I've been watching the game my whole life. And I've really, I've seen so incredibly few quarterbacks who seem so outwardly disliked by his teammates. I can't remember ever having seen this. I mean, to watch this, and it's sick because the guys have to, like, the camera's on him. They have to comment on him. Rod and company have to comment on him.
Well, look, you know, he went up to the CFL in part because he was trying to prove that he was more mature, that he had not lost any talent level, etc. But he was looking at Canada from day one as a 1 to 2 year commitment just to prove that he could play in the NFL again. So to some extent, he was never really has never really been invested in this. Montreal got him essentially on a desperate move. Our season is sinking. We're going to have yet again be an embarrassment. We got to do something. Let's try to hit a home run. Let's bring in this guy. And you could almost you could see the desperation in the move itself. So, you know, when you combine a guy who really doesn't want to be there, no matter what he says publicly, at least I don't think he wants to be there, combined with a front office that was desperate to do something to attract attention. You know, it's a relationship that is bound to be bad, and it's gotten bad apparently pretty quickly.
It sure has. All right, let's move on. Final game. Wow. I mean, gotta say, shocker of the week. I mean, the Stampeders were 9.5-point favorites in this game and lost to the Saskatchewan Roughriders 29-24. Apparently, the only difference was a couple of turnovers in the second quarter, because I still think about this game and can't figure out how the Riders pulled this one off other than just plain old stayed the course. You got any insight for me, Joe?
Not really.
All right. How bad do the Stampeders look right now? How about that one?
They don't look like the Stamps anymore. It's like they still have the same same group of players. I mean, their wide receiver core is shot, obviously. But there's not that we're the Calgary Stampeders. We own this field. You might be within a few points or you might be up by a few points. But at the end of the day, we're going to walk away with this. That's gone. Mm-hmm. And if they can't get that back, this might be the beginning of an end of a fantastic run they've had.
Well, or just a blip, right? I mean, because who's to say that next
year
they
could very well be that too. Right. I'm not saying that they're going to fall on the face of the earth too, but to be that team where everybody is expecting 13 to 15 wins out of you every single season, that's pretty remarkable. But I haven't seen that team in the last couple of weeks.
But to me, if you give them Jordan back in the lineup, if you give them Daniels back in the lineup, if you give them Begelton back in the lineup, are they in this position right now? I doubt it. Look, they're going to have to find a way with this receiving core to now give the defense a bit of a break. To me, they are still the team that if you look at, you know, across the board and you say, which team do you think is going to be there? You know, when it's all said and done, if the receivers come together, Calgary's going to be there. I just don't know if the receivers are going to come together with Bo Levi Mitchell Fasten.
Right. Okay.
But
okay. You know. Great. We're talking about the Stampeders. Y'all hold that thought. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about next week's games, beginning with Calgary Stampeders at Winnipeg Blue Bombers. How nervous are you, Joe?
Not as nervous as I probably should be.
Right. We'll be right back with the Rouge, White, and Blue. Talk the dawn of the playoffs. The playoffs are on the immediate horizon. Calgary Stampeders, 3-point underdogs at the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And who would have thought that at the beginning of the year? A little bit of news that might be informative for this game. Sad, weird, distressing story of the week came out of Winnipeg this week. Maurice Leggett, apparently, carted off the field in practice just as he was about to return to the field. I guess the good news on the other side for the Stampeders is Lamar Durant, the receiver, and defensive lineman Micah Johnson, both of whom left in the last game, are okay and will play in this game. Again, just to repeat, Calgary needs this win to clinch finally that first place in the West, that home field advantage in the West, and Winnipeg wins and they're in the playoffs. okay, so Joe, on a scale of 1 to, oh my God, Trump just won Pennsylvania, how panicked are you?
Probably a 2 or a 3.
Oh, wow, really? Okay, so Calgary is 3-point underdog. How do you see this game?
I simply see it as we're going to find out who the Bombers are. Okay. They have an opponent that is reeling right now, a very talented opponent that is reeling right now, but who have some weaknesses due to injuries. Winnipeg is on a 4-win run, and a win clinches a playoff spot. The reason I'm not too worried about this one is because there's at least a week 21. If this was win and you're in, lose, you go home, right, I'd be more like a 7-8. But I want to see Winnipeg come out, and I want to see them take it to Calgary. I want to see them take advantage of the weaknesses Calgary has due to injury, not that they have natural weaknesses much to begin with, but hey, they're a wounded right. animal. That might mean they fight a heck of a lot harder, they bounce back, and they just trash Winnipeg. But I want to see Winnipeg, when they're in a position where they have an advantage on an opponent here, go ahead and finish the job. That's what I'm looking for, because I think if they come out weakly in this one, it doesn't really matter what happens in week 21 because their season's right. over.
Okay, so where are you? Are you going to make a pick? Come on, pick it.
I'll pick the Bombers, right. Which I'm picking against Calgary in a game that means something to them for the first time in like at least a year.
Well,
and
they're
half,
the underdogs so. For the first time, and I can't remember the last time they were the underdogs, home or away. Seriously, it must have been against Edmonton like a year and a half, a couple of years ago. Because, man, I saw that line today. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe they were getting the points. I think the game plan.
Yep. If the Bombers come out and play like they did against the Riders a couple weeks ago, they're going to have a good day. And it's going to be a pretty widespread score.
I think the game plan for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers is simple. Start turning the scoreboard because the Stampeders don't have enough, quote unquote, skill players on offense to do so. Agree, disagree, Doctor.
Blowout City, Winnipeg wins by at least 2 touchdowns.
Wow.
Just Winnipeg, Joe makes a good point. This is a chance to make a statement. They made a heck of a statement against Saskatchewan 2 weeks ago. I think they make another statement this week. I think they whack Winnipeg or whack Calgary by 14 points at least.
Wow. Okay, I think it's going to be a bit closer than you guys do. But, yeah, probably I would bet Winnipeg minus the points here at least. They're going to win by probably more than three. But, yeah, I'll go Winnipeg there too. All right, the easiest game of the week, right? Ottawa is a 3.5-point underdog at Hamilton. Brandon Banks, as I said earlier, but bears repeating, out for the season. The main weapon there in Hamilton, again, you know, that field stretch guy, that guy that runs the long routes and like clears that middle center of the field, is not there. For stat guy Jeremiah Masoli, what do you see in this game, Dr. Rouge?
Hamilton wins, but it doesn't matter because Ottawa wins next week and wins the Eastern Division.
Okay, yeah, because you're betting against your Argonauts again. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Are you going to bet against – oh, well, we'll talk about friggin' Toronto, Montreal in a second. Okay, Joe, can you be as concise as that?
Yeah, I think Hamilton's season's basically over.
Oh, wow. Okay, are they going to lose? Are they going to lose this game?
They're going to lose this game. They, if they win in week 21, who cares? Right. And they're going to lose in the first game. They've just proven time after time this year that they can't put the game away in the fourth quarter. So they, I believe that either Winnipeg or BC is going to beat them in the Eastern semi.
Let's see. Are we going to disagree on any of these other games? Okay, we might. So I'm going to bet. I'm going to go with the safe bet. I'm going to take Ottawa, especially plus the 3.5. Wow. I may be betting that one for sure. Right, okay. BC Lions, 3.5-point underdogs at Saskatchewan. Perhaps taking the Lions a little bit for granted here, as the doctor pointed out, they could possibly be the hottest or second hottest team in the CFL. Guess what? Micah Awe, the linebacker for the Lions who left last week's game, is back. So again, BC Lions is back at full speed. Chris Rainey, I should also point out, has not been practicing and is probably going to miss this game. So not quite full speed. However, I think you're still liking Saskatchewan in this game. I got to believe that they're going to defend home field. I got to believe that BC Lions on the road have still not proven themselves. And, Chris Jones is going to have his charges ready to win this game, especially since it seems Calgary's in real danger. Joe, what do you like here?
I've got Saskatchewan. But I believe BC can make a big statement by going on the road and beating a team with a superior record. I don't think that's going to happen, but if they do that, then it's a real good debate between which team do you least want to see in the playoffs, BC or Winnipeg.
I'm not sure they want to win. I'm not sure that they're going to go at full speed. I think they're happy going in at number four. I think they're happy with resting their starters in the second half of this game if it gets out of hand. Dr. Roosh, what do you see in this game?
I'm with you. I think BC starts to look and says, all right, you know what? We've won six of our last seven. We've had a great run. Things are doing well. We still, you know, we need Aluminium back on defense. Boy, if we get lucky, we get Arsenal back on offense. And, you know, we are really got to feel good about ourselves. Let's make sure Travis Lule doesn't get beat out of him against a really good Saskatchewan defense. Right. I agree with you. I could see Wally Buono, you know, pulling the troops at halftime if this is a 14-17 point, you know, a Saskatchewan lead. You know, the only reason to bet against Saskatchewan, so to speak, winning this week is to say that they have been just maddening enough that they could have one of those offensive performances in which the offense scores 3 points and BC finds a way to win. I don't think that happens, which, you know, and if we're right, boy, does that make week 21 all sorts of important in the Canadian football.
Well, yeah, except that Saskatchewan loss clinches first for Calgary. So, again, that magic number is still one for Calgary. So that would be one thing solved, but yeah, the rest of it would be twisted. Right, okay, let's go to this last one. Oh boy. Last and certainly least, Toronto Argonauts, 1-point underdog, Dr. Rouge, at Montreal.
Let's just play the game. Okay. Let's not get anybody hurt. And let's just wrap up the season seven or eight days later, you know, and be done with it. I mean, look, it probably the only question of interest in this game, is, you know, does Manziel do something that validates either selfishness or immaturity or something like that? You know, I mean, I hate to say that again, this game is about him, but, you know, let's face it, Montreal invested a lot. If Montreal has to cut its losses at the end of the season, one way or the other, they've got no Manziel. They're down two offensive linemen and a number one draft pick from that trade. Oh boy.
Yeah, just rub it in.
But otherwise, in terms of this game, who cares?
Who cares? Oh, that's terrible, Dr. Roosh, because there are a couple of things to watch for. Here's one thing. How low will the attendance be? That's one thing. That's one thing to look for. Here's another thing to look for.
How low will the TV ratings be? It's on Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern.
And Rod's going to be calling it. Rod's going to be calling it. So that's a reason to watch. Mm-hmm. And another reason is to guess, like, am I crazy enough to actually put money on this game? Because I think that Montreal is going to win this game. I think it's probably going to be about, what, -7 in Montreal. I think it's going to be about 10-4, maybe, as their final score. There's going to be a lot of rouges on the Toronto side there.
That'd be great.
On the Toronto side there. And, yeah, I think Montreal's going to win, despite Manziel, not because of him. Joe, what do you got in this game?
Now,
oh, sorry?
By the way, go ahead and ask the question. Knowing how much I loathe the NFL, what game am I going to be watching Sunday at 1 o'clock?
I have
Toronto,
no doubt
Montreal?
You're watching Toronto.
Yeah, or is there a basketball game on, or like hockey?
Nope.
My only question in this game, besides thinking that Toronto is going to win because they have a quarterback and Montreal doesn't, is that Oz, are you going to finally take the plunge and play the Rod Black drinking game for this one?
I think the wife's going out of town. She's either out of town this weekend or next weekend. All right. So, yeah, I will do it.
The only question is, do you have to drive on Sunday?
I don't drive. I'm legally blind.
I don't drive.
No way, man. I got no vision. Yeah, okay. Yeah, because I knew I was going to do it towards the end of the season when it's meaningless, because I knew they're going to put Rod on the Montreal game. They always put Rod on the Montreal games. Just my luck, I suppose. So, yes.
It just it feels like they're in a pretty solid spot where Rod does the East and Chris Cuthbert does the West. When they go and have weeks where there's three in the West or three in the East, it seems like that's when you see Rod Smith. Well, Rod Smith was doing Thursday nights, and Gordon Miller will show up every once in a while. But if it's a 2-2, that's your split right there, and you can pretty much take that to the bank.
And there's a 2-2 this week. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's my question. Is there, besides beer, is there a liquor that Canada is really known for? And just bear in mind that I think Canadian whiskey is, I mean, no offense, but I haven't found one that I liked. So is there anything else that Canadians are known for in alcohol?
We're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah, I'm just throwing it out there. I'm actually way more of an alcoholic than you guys are, I'm sure. Right.
Probably.
Because
yes.
I should do it thematically. The only hard alcohol I have in the house right now is gin. See, these are tough decisions when I'm putting my liver at risk like this. Right, okay. So next week, perhaps, we'll have the results of Oz plays the Rod Black drinking game. If not, I'll do it the week after, I promise. Right, so let's close out on that teaser. Dr. Root, give us your last words of wisdom, my friend.
If we're right that Winnipeg wins this week, and therefore that Edmonton is out of the playoffs, What a stunning fall for a team that most people figured was at worst the second best in the Western Division to start the season. Is that, does that lead to some sort of house cleaning at the end of the season? I think it's certain that the defensive coaches are going to get blown out, but does the front office decide to take Jason Moss and the offensive coaches as well and potentially start over?
That's interesting.
Maybe, because I don't think, if I'm remembering correctly, Moss was there before Sutherland.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Moss and Sutherland worked together in Ottawa, but that does not necessarily mean they are tied to the hip at this point. Sutherland may want to make his own guy, so I would say Moss shouldn't rest too easy at the moment.
Wow, interesting.
And that could also mean, come to think of it, with free agency and whatnot, next week could be Mike Riley's last game in an Edmonton Eskimos uniform.
Ah, really?
I doubt that happens. Okay. I doubt, seriously. I'm just saying it's possible.
Because we could use a quarterback in Montreal. Well, we know that. I mean, we know that, for example, I was thinking about this the other day, is we know Dakiel Williams won't be there next year because he'll go to the NFL, right? I mean, that's what always happens with the Eskimos' top receiver. You know, Mike Riley teaches them how to catch, and then they go to the NFL. So it's happened the last 2 years. So I have no reason to think that Dakiel Williams can't make an NFL team. He was your you remember that poll we did towards the beginning of the year? There's your breakout second-year star right there. That's what it ended up being, was Dakiel Williams. But in any case, I like this, how we're going down the rabbit hole right at the end. Joe, how can you close out the show for us?
I thought we were doing pretty good ourselves, but yeah, I would say that I would be somewhat surprised to see Calgary lose 3 meaningful games in a row, but at the same time, I wouldn't be, just given where Winnipeg is at the moment and where Calgary is.
And just given the parity of the league this year, I mean, I remember talking about this at the beginning of the year when we forecasted that, you know, up to 6 teams in the CFL could be right around 500. That can still happen.
Mm-hmm.
That can still happen. Amazing parity. And the Stamps.
You could have 5 teams go 9-9.
Wow, really? Is that still possible? I don't know.
It's still possible.
Wow. Really? I'd have to look at the game-by-game breakdown. But, yeah, I suppose it is. But, you know, again, it's just classic parody. And the Stamps are, like, being drawn into that black hole at precisely the wrong time. They should have been losing these games at the beginning of the season. You know, that's the way they had done in the past. Get off to the slow start, you know, win out at the end. But we'll see. We'll see. I mean, there's absolutely no reason to write off the Stamps yet. You know, over there on the official website of the league, CFL.ca, you know, they ran a piece today called something like, should the Stampeders still be considered the favorite to take the Grey Cup? Should they, Dr. Rouge?
No.
Should they, Joe?
I think they've got to win one of the last 2 games in a prove-it way to go get back on that pedestal.
Okay. According to the actual people who make money off of this, there's still the odds-on favorite at 7-5. The Riders are bearing down at 3-1. But, you know, those who know still like them at least to get to the Grey Cup. Bombers are still at 7-1. Wow, that's a good bet. Right, so in any case, I guess I'll close it out. We'll spiral out here. I'm Oz Davis. This has been the Rouge, White, and Blue CFL podcast for my co-host Joe Pritchard and Dr. Rouge. Enjoy the games and talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.
Okay, I am back.
The oven is on?
No, actually, I got another beer. Fucking Manziel, man. Manziel is driving me to alcoholism.
Or did he?
Diver.